This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hi guys, you are listening to Generation Next with Dylan, Timmy and Em. We've got a really exciting show tonight. I think that we always have a really exciting show.
I think we do. I mean, wait, no, think about it. We definitely do.
Yeah,
the show is pretty excellent.
It is pretty excellent. We're going to be doing some queer questions.
We are.
Which has been really popular. We brought it back a couple of weeks ago and we've been getting in texts and emails.
Totally.
From people listening. So if you want to send us a question and we can have a chat about it, give some friendly advice. Tim, how can you contact us?
Well, you can send in an email or you can send in a message.
Great. And what about the social medias?
You can find us on the social medias.
Well, like if they need to find us in any of our social medias, they can jump onto www.joy.org.au and then you can find us anywhere. And we've got all our stuff up on the Joy website.
Yep. This is true.
Yep. Great. So, should we start off with a song?
I think so. You're listening to Joy.
Welcome back to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. On to queer questions. We've got quite a few tonight, actually. But the first one is, Gen Next, my housemate is OCD clean. He's so anal about our place staying clean. I'm not even allowed to eat on the couch. If I have to eat, it's either at the table or in my room. I want to tell my housemate to chill out, but I don't know how to say it.
Ooh, tough. I think communication in a shared house is really important to keep living together.
That is true. I also think that maybe not be a slob when you eat as well. That might be an idea. just for those playing at home, my housemate actually wrote that about me. So
we were trying to keep that one under wraps, but didn't work so well.
No, look, I just think, yeah. Here's some advice. If you're going to eat and if you're going to make a mess, just be respectful of other people that you live with and clean up after it.
See, I find it quite relaxing to prepare myself a meal, go and eat somewhere and then clean up after the meal. And I've lived with housemates before that don't appreciate that. They want, you know, and I can understand that they want to come home and then have a clear kitchen space to prepare their own meal. And if we prepare the meal at the same time, my stuff's still all over the bench. Yeah. I'm eating on the couch. I think it's a tough call living together with people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm technically a baby, so I have no idea about sharing houses and stuff like that.
Okay, he's not really technically a baby. He's definitely sitting and walking.
He's just a lot younger than Emma and I. Oh, sorry, Emily and I. Not Emma.
Too many M's.
Yeah, too many M's.
I know.
Thank
it's
you.
Tough.
I have name dyslexia. Sorry.
So our advice is communicate and Dylan's advice is don't be a slob.
Yeah, it's just that easy.
Do you want to do the next one, Dylan?
Yeah, sure. Okay, this was messaged in from Emil. I have recently started a new job and I work with a person that constantly needs to one-up everyone. For example, someone would say, I went to the shops today. And then this person would reply, I went to 10 shops today. Have you ever dealt with someone like this? What did you do to survive?
It can be the most annoying thing in the world.
Yeah, it really can
be.
It's actually a really hard one to tackle. How do you go about, I just have to say, be upfront and honest and just, you have to say to them, you're being a douche.
Or suck it up and don't say anything to them and deal with it.
It is a very hard question. I would have to say, look, probably you started a new job. Best thing is to be professional about it and just ignore them. Yeah. It's not like you're married to this person. It's not like you see this person in your own time. You do see them for a bit of the time of the day, but maybe just concentrate on doing your work instead of listening to what they're saying.
Yeah.
And you can totally, like, I'm not too sure what kind of job you have, but if it's one where you're dealing with a lot of files and a lot of processing, then just say, look, I'm going back to doing my work, or just ignore them.
Yeah, absolutely. I reckon just stay clear of them, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you always come into contact with people who are a bit annoying, and the best thing you can do is be level-headed about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we'll be back with some more... actually, we've got an interview coming up after the little break.
Joy, 94.9.
Hi, guys. Generation Next. You are with Dylan, Tim and Em. And we've just had some queer questions, but right now we're switching over to be joined by Jodie from the Volunteer Medical Companion Service. Why don't we just start by you telling us a bit about what you guys do?
Absolutely. Thanks for letting me come into the studio tonight. Well, I'm actually from Travellers Aid, which is a not-for-profit organisation. We started in 1916. I haven't been there that long.
Well, you're looking wonderful if you were.
That's very kind. So the Medical Volunteer Companion Service is a really fabulous service that we started 12 months ago. What we do is we help people, particularly from regional and rural Victoria, who are travelling on public transport to Melbourne for medical appointments. Now, most of us who are independent and who can sort of do it on our own probably don't realise how hard it is for people who have disabilities or people who are really struggling with illness, people with kids, or people are just really overwhelmed by coming to the city. And this program matches volunteers with those people from regional rural Victoria to come to Melbourne and make it easy.
Cool. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, pretty awesome. So why exactly are those services at risk?
Well, the program was funded for 12 months and we've had a little bit of an extension over the time. The 30th of June, we are not going to have funding to continue the service. So what we're really doing is appealing to the Victorian community to be generous, dig deep and support this really vital service. Essentially, if 1,000 Victorians just donate just $76, that will keep the program running. $76,000 is all we're trying to raise, but we really need the public support.
Yeah. Yep. What are the costs? What do they go towards? What are you funding?
Well, we have fabulous volunteers. And like Joy, volunteers need support. And you can't just go on air or you can't be a medical companion without support and you need training. Mm-hmm. We reimburse volunteers for their transport costs. All of our volunteers have regular refresher training as well. They've got first aid training. We've got to do things like police checks. And we need a coordinator who just works 3 days a week to support and coordinate those volleys. Mm-hmm. In the last 12 months, we've had 400 clients we've supported from regional rural Victoria. We reckon we can double it if we receive the funding to keep the program going.
Okay, great. So why is it important for these clients to receive the aid?
Essentially, there's in Victoria, there's over 50,000 people who travel for medical appointments each year to Melbourne.
Was that 50,000?
50,000.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of... a lot of people with ailments that need assistance.
That's right. And more so, people who have to travel vast distances often need extra support, especially if they're not familiar with the city and not familiar with public transport. If the service close, what will happen is that some people will delay medical appointments and really risk their health. We've even had people say to us, you know what, if this service closes, I don't know what I'm going to do. Others are going to not travel at all and they're going to risk their health. And others are going to try and rely on family and friends, taking day off work or actually trying to use things like community transport, which is in the local area, and that places additional strains on those services.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as I understand it, the service is actually a pilot scheme. Would you be able to explain what that is exactly?
Yeah, certainly. Well, we called it a pilot to start with because we were sort of trying it out. Travellers Aid's been involved in supporting people with transport disadvantage, you know, for nearly 100 years. But this particular program, we're really interested to see what are the needs of people, will they actually use the service? And of course they have. We've had over 400 people. We've got 35 active volunteers and we've been doing a lot of evaluations along the way. It's really important to make sure that we get that right, and the clients who've used the program have said it's just made such a fabulous difference to their confidence. Some people just once will meet a volunteer and then do it independently the next time, and that's great too. But we know for some people, particularly people with disabilities, people who are frail aged and people with vision impairments, need more help.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's well, it's such a good cause. Jodie, are you able... Do you want to stick around for a song and then just stay with us a little bit longer? Is that
love
okay?
Love to. Absolutely.
Excellent. You're listening to Generation Next. This is Generation Next and you're joined tonight by Tim, Em and Dill. We are lucky enough to be joined by Jodie, who is a part of the Travellers Aid, and we're still going on this interview. This is fantastic. Thanks again for coming in. Can you tell us just what are the types of people that use this service? Like, who would use this service specifically?
Well, for the Volunteer Medical Companion Service, the people who use the service are predominantly people from regional and rural Victoria. So 95% of the 400 people are from regional Victoria. 23% have vision impairments, and 58% are over the age of 65, and more than 40% of those people describe themselves as having some sort of disability. So it's a whole spectrum of the community. Often people aren't fully aware of how hard it is to get around, and especially if English isn't your first language. So, for example, recently there's a Sudanese guy who has been using the program. He was hooked into our service by his community health nurse, and he has a vision impairment, and he also has the added sort of struggle of trying to get around Melbourne as well, and not knowing the city, not speaking the language. So having a volunteer companion for him to be able to travel confidently on public transport and then get to that appointment is just so essential, and it saves heaps and heaps of time for community health services who have already got a lot of people they need to support.
Yeah, right. And how do you actually pair the volunteers with the clients?
We have a fabulous volunteer coordinator. Her name's Kate Plant, and she just has a knack of being able to match the right people with the right person. We've got a really big spectrum of volunteers who have different ages, different cultural backgrounds, and have different interests. But, you know, the thing that we found is you can match someone who's young with an older person, and they can have the most amazing conversations and get along. And sometimes people of similar age are the same. So I think we've just got a really great caliber of volunteers who are really flexible, they're very open-minded, and they're very compassionate. And that goes so well with everybody's needs.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the fact that it's, like you were saying before, if 1,000 people in Melbourne donated $76, that would keep this up and running. So
it sure would. And we've got an online campaign that's running with a YouTube video, and you can actually see that at travellersaid.org.au, and you can hear the interviews of people, particularly people who've used the service, and they're telling their own story.
Cool.
Yeah. This sounds like such a fantastic service, but who actually has supported the service that that some people probably would have heard of?
Well, initially, the program was supported by the Victorian State Government through the Transport Connections Program. We have had donations in the last week or so, week and a half, by Yarra Trams, RACV, which is fantastic. We've got a number of individuals who've really dug deep to make their donation. We're hoping that we're going to reach the target of 76,000. We're getting there, but we really need people's support.
And when does the funding run out again?
30 June. Okay. We've got a little bit of funding to sort of keep the program going for July, sure, if need be. But the thing is, you know, we all need certainty, and particularly people who are booking those medical appointments way in advance, and they just want to know that that's all good.
Yeah.
So we're really hoping we'll be able to keep the service going and make sure that people who need that medical support can get it.
And if people do want to donate, how do they get in contact with you guys?
They can just go to www.travellersaid.org.au, and you can just click on the Donate Now section, and there's a whole bunch of information, YouTube video. And you can also do peer-to-peer fundraising. So you might want to get a group of friends together. You might have a party, do something that email it on Facebook and get it out there to all your friends and family.
Yeah, a bit of fun.
Absolutely.
That sounds so great, Jodie. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for your support.
Yeah. No worries.
We're going to go to a song?
We're going to go to some music. We're going to go to, I think, how is everyone feeling about if I just hit play? How does Mixing it up. Bit of random surprise. You're listening to Generation Next. Have fun.
Hi, guys. Generation Next.
You're with Dilla, Tim and Em. We have just heard from Jodie from the Volunteer Medical Companion Service, which sounded like a really great cause. We're going to put a link to that on all of our social media pages. So please, if you want to donate some money, they were just asking for $76 from each individual with the aim to raise $76,000. Just sounded so fantastic. We were also doing some queer questions before we began speaking with Jodie, and we're going to return to those. So should we go to the next one?
We shall.
Yes.
I think this is the third question.
Yes.
Dear Gen Next, I have found out that my boyfriend cheated on me. I don't think he knows that I know. What should I do? Now, this one's
hard.
Yeah. Being in that situation is the most horrible feeling.
So horrible.
Call them on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to, I mean, it'll affect your relationship and it'll affect you.
Absolutely.
Sorry, you can go.
Sorry, I was saying that you just don't want that animosity in a loving relationship or in any kind of relationship. Just be upfront.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think talking through your problems when in a couple is a really good thing. Like, I know couples that have, one of the partners has cheated on the other partner and they're still going strong today, which is really fantastic to see and stuff like that. So,
Yeah, definitely. Cool. Dil, do you want to do the next one?
Yeah. My ex won't stop messaging me. They keep promising to change. Should I take them back?
No.
No, they don't change. Even though, like, I'm such a hypocrite in this situation.
I don't necessarily think straight out no. I think it depends what it is that they're doing that pisses you off.
If you've broken up with them and gotten back together more than two times, then they're not going to change.
Yep. Okay, I agree with that. Yep. More than two times. Yeah.
Yep.
But if, you know, if you broke up for a reason and then those reasons are amended and then you go out again, like, you know, I've had friends that have done that and they've gone on to have really long, happy relationships.
You just don't want one of those revolving door relationships.
They are like, horrible. They are horrible.
That's funny. Okay, cool. So the next one, I have a friend who wants me to pick up a washing machine from her relatives because I have a big van, which is cool. However, she wants it to be a social visit. Should I put myself out there and put up with her family who I don't see eye to eye with, or should I just save myself the hassle?
Can I just say this is a fantastic question that we just got sent in because it's the most random thing that you probably could never guess would ever come in.
It's not really a queer question.
No, it's
more
not.
Like life advice.
But it's more like, I think, this person's already answered it for themselves because it seems like they're both negative kind of responses. Should I put myself out and put up with her family who I don't see eye to eye with, or should I just save myself the hassle? I think you don't even need our advice. I think you've already answered that one.
She should just save herself the hassle.
She could all...
Dylan's finding that really amusing.
Sorry. We're here to help.
Yeah, not laugh at your question.
I think she's already answered it.
Yes.
Yep.
Alternatively, she could let her friend borrow the van. Well, it sort of depends on the friendship, I guess.
That's a good solution.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool bananas. Tim, do you want to do the next one?
Yeah, sure. I have friends on social media that comment on my posts and like my updates, but when I see them on the streets, they don't acknowledge me. Should I call them out on it or just delete them?
That really pisses me off when people do that.
Absolutely. They like everything.
Yeah.
But then they don't have time for a coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. I actually, I read an article in some paper somewhere, I can't remember where, that was talking about telephobia, that people are actually becoming like scared to pick up a telephone and have a conversation with something, and all communication is done via social media or text messaging.
One of my best friends is the biggest hater of telephone calls in the world.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what, I'll try and call her and she'll just reject my call and just text me and say, I'm not answering the call, what's going on?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
It is. I guess it just makes its way into the social media world. So I guess you should call them.
Absolutely.
Call them on it.
Call them on it and let them know. We'll be back after these CSAs.
Hi, guys. Generation Next. We have been talking about some queer questions amongst each other. And we have actually been emailed in one which I don't know if is a queer question as such. But the question is, will you spend 5 minutes talking about the worst pickup lines you can use and then use them on each other? Five minutes in a one-hour show is a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah. I don't think I've been picked up that many times to be able to choose any bad one-liners. There was one that did stand out for me, for example. Actually, you know what? Let's move the conversation on. I don't think I want to go down that track.
not very appropriate.
No. Look, we'd love to talk. Why don't you message us in some of the worst pickup lines that you've ever had? You can text in or send us an email.
I think we might leave the queer questions there, guys, for this week. Save that. We've got some more for next week, but only a few. So if you do want to send in some more, we can have a chat about those on air next week.
Or if you have any tacky pickup lines, I'd like to know as well.
Yeah. Are you single, Dylan?
No.
Not wanting to use them?
Oh, you never know. Spice up the relationship. But we are moving on to...
Gay school, I believe, which is exciting. Are we ready for the song?
We are.
May There's a bear in there and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside.
It's Gay School.
Were they birds at the end?
They were.
I've never heard the birds. Oh, wow. It just adds to the joy of it.
The joy. Yeah, yeah, little tweeting. What was that? I don't even know anymore. I haven't had much sleep, ladies and gents. So, yeah.
Gay School.
That was
kick
wonderful.
It away, Tim.
Gay tunes.
I'm not sure when the debate actually took place. I'm happy for anyone to correct me if they know. But recently in Queensland, they've been debating the same-sex civil unions legislation.
Yeah.
And during that debate, the Liberal National Party's Attorney General, Jared, I can't pronounce his last name, I think it's South African, not even going to try, but basically he said, he announced that same-sex and single surrogacy laws would basically be repealed. So single people and same-sex couples won't be able to have access to that, which is...
That's crazy. It's it makes me so, so angry.
Absolutely. And what I really... You kind of just want to rub people's noses in it at the same time and go, you voted for these people in.
I know. Absolutely. I know. And plus, I think... And here, correct me if I'm wrong. This is my memory serving me here. But I think when Campbell Newman was standing for the position, he said that civil unions wouldn't be
touched. He wouldn't repeal.
Yeah. And now there's kind of... He's obviously gone against... what he said, whether because of popular opinion or whether he's had pressure put upon him.
Or if politicians are hypocrites.
Yeah, yeah. It's really disappointing.
But I think this is just another, basically another clue that just tells everyone that the Queensland government is just massively homophobic. Like when you think about it, there's a solid religious argument against same-sex marriage. Like I can understand that. But when it comes to civil unions, there's no other reason to do it than if your agenda is just purely anti-gay.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the previous government, Anna Bligh. She was fantastic, and I have a lot of respect for Anna Bligh herself. But Newman,
I just
what
think
are you doing?
I think it's appalling. I'm so angry about, like, I mean, obviously this and the other things that he's done to cut services to LGBTIQ people, and also to, like, I don't know, health services and Indigenous services, and
the
arts community. Yeah, yep. Sorry.
Oh no, you're stealing my words.
Yeah, just makes me really angry. So I'm going to move on to another story, which is about the census results. I just want to say that, Ali, if you are listening to this, this story totally reminds me of you. I had this housemate who was a statistician, and she was so, so like crazy in love with the census that we had to have, we had like a census party, and we were all, everyone in our house.
Fantastic. Census.
I know. So, Ali, I'm going to read out this in review. So the results have come back and shown that 1,338 same-sex couples have married whilst overseas. And this is the first time that statistics have been included on the census to measure the number of gay partners, which I think is a really good, like, really important move in itself, that there's that much recognition that even if it's not, you know, perhaps going the way of politicians or religious lobby groups, that definitely on something that, that is statistically representative of Australia, that has been included.
I have to agree. And what really annoys me, this is what gives me the irks the most. I mean, like, okay, if you're in a same-sex long-term relationship, you'll get taxed the same.
Yeah.
You have the same, I guess, you have the same legislative requirements and commitments, but you don't get the respect. You don't have any, like, you're just not recognised. And I mean, for people who are as proud Australian citizens that are, you know, contributing to Australia, and then to be told, oh, now we, you know, not to be the same treatment as anyone else, it's just, it's disgusting.
Mm.
It's really, really horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. No,
I agree with you. I
totally agree. Let's break up that bad news and go to a song.
Yeah. This is Generation Net. You're joined with Dil, Tim, and Em.
Hi, guys.
Yeah. No, we've actually got in an email, I believe it was, or was it a text?
It's an email.
Okay, great. Did you want to read it out?
Yeah, it's from the from Jacob. He's saying, Campbell Newman has previously said he supports gay marriage. He said he wouldn't touch civil unions if people had entered into them. He also promised not to go after surrogacy for gay couples. Not to mention the QAHC funding cut. Appalling on all counts, they're completely subservient to the extremist ACL. Couldn't agree with you more, Jacob.
Absolutely. Yep. And thank you so much for providing those facts, which it's a lot better than my sketchy memory on what had been said or hadn't been said.
Yeah, I have to appreciate that. And Jacob, been texting, messaging before. I think I saw him in a feed.
He's a previous host.
The elusive Jacob.
Which is even better because he's in Scotland at the moment, and the fact that he's listening overseas means you can just feel that love.
Feel the love. And
hi, Jacob.
We are drawing towards the end of another
show. I know, we are. We have to wrap up for another wonderful Monday show. Thank you so much, Dylan and Tim.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
It's been great.
Thanks for Jody as well for coming in.
Yep, thank you.
And also thanks to our sponsors
They make Joy go round.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Thanks to the people that wrote in as well.
Yep.
Absolutely. A lot of thanks, a lot of love.
So we'll say goodbye on this lovely, peaceful, beautiful song.
Bye, guys.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.